Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. At first glance, we might be surprised to find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul spends a great deal of the chapter defending his apostolic rights. And that seems so uncharacteristic of an apostle of Jesus Christ. Certainly seems uncharacteristic of anyone who is following the Lord Jesus Christ, patterning their life after the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to walk in his steps. That doesn't seem like something that is very Christ-like, but a closer examination evidences that it is exactly that, because Paul needed to do this for the welfare of the people to whom he's writing. He needed to do this for the good of the Corinthian church. It was not for himself that he was defending his rights, it was for others, and that changes everything. When I am defending my rights for this and that and the other from a self-centered perspective, then I'm being very, very carnal. But in this case, what is happening is that critics are trying to attack and undermine the influence of the Apostle Paul upon the lives of the Corinthian believers, and if they can successfully do that, it will be for the purpose of drawing them away from the truth of the gospel, from the truth of the Word of God that Paul preached to them, and to pull them away to error. And so part of defending these believers against error is to reinforce the validity of his apostolic position. And so we find Paul doing that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We started our examination of this chapter on the broadcast yesterday, and we will continue today, which is Friday, November 12, as you are joining us for this study and as some have helped us financially to make it possible. Now, in my Bible, there are headings over all of the chapters, and sometimes even headings in certain sections within the chapters. And the heading at the top of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is a pattern of self-denial. Now, that doesn't sound like someone who is defending their apostolic rights, a pattern of self-denial. But in truth, that's also very much what is in view here, because Paul has just taught about Christian liberty in chapter 8, concluding the chapter by saying that he is willing and ready to give up his Christian liberty if the exercise of it will hurt others. In other words, the most important consideration is not what he's allowed to do, but what will best benefit others. He's willing to sacrifice his own comforts, his own rights, his own position for the benefit of others when that becomes an issue. And that's exactly what he does in chapter 9. He illustrates how this worked out in his own life. And so he starts out by asserting his apostolic rights, but before the chapter's over, we find him giving up his apostolic rights. just like the exercise of Christian liberty. I have the liberty to eat meat offered to idols, but I will eat no meat while the world stands, if it will cause my brother to stumble. I have these rights as an apostle, and he enumerates what many of them are, and we'll be getting to those one by one. But he also says, I'm willing to give them up. I'm willing to lay aside these things which are my rights for the greater cause of Jesus Christ. It really is a pattern of self-denial, not a pattern of self-assertion. With that in mind, we quickly review verse 1 and then move on. In verse 1, you may recall from yesterday's broadcast, there are four rhetorical questions as Paul defends his apostolic office. Am I not an apostle? Well, yes, Paul, you are an apostle. Am I not free? Free in Christ? Free to exercise Christian liberty? Why, yes, Paul, you have as much freedom in Christ as anybody has in Christ. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Question number 3, the answer is yes. You certainly did on the Damascus Road, and that qualifies you to be an apostle. And number 4, are you not my work in the Lord? And again, the answer is yes. The church at Corinth is irrefutable evidence of the hand of God upon this man, Paul. And so, yes, 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 4 times. 4 rhetorical questions with the answer yes. And all of this, therefore, constitutes an undeniable reality, which others may not recognize, but the members of the Corinthian church certainly do, should and do. Again, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? Verse 2, if I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Others may not recognize my legitimate claim to being an apostle of Christ. But you do. You can't deny it. You, to whom I'm writing this epistle, you, who are members of the Corinthian church, you, who have been saved by the grace of God in the city of Corinth and brought into fellowship with Christ and with his people, you are evidence of my apostleship. The seal, he calls it. If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. A seal was a sign of authenticity. In those days, when someone secured a document, they would typically pour wax on the document, and then in the soft wax, they would imprint a seal, or sometimes seals were attached in other ways, but the seal would identify the one who is endorsing this document, the one to whom it belongs, the one to whom it applies. The seal identifies the owner and the purveyor, you might say, of this particular document. It is the sign of authenticity. And what Paul, in effect, is saying is this. It sounds very, what should I say, very down-to-earth in many ways, but he's saying, look, it's easy to be a critic, but it's harder to plant churches. Isn't that the truth? Again, verse 2, if I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you, Corinthian believers, Corinthian church, the very fact that you exist as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the city of Corinth, you are the seal, that the proof of authenticity of my apostleship in the Lord. So I say it again. Paul, in essence, is saying, it's easy to be a critic. There are critics sniping around the edge of the church in Corinth. They are calling into question my apostleship, and they are calling into question the hand of God upon my life and the genuineness of my claim to be called to be an apostle of Christ and so forth. They're questioning all these things. Okay. And again, this may sound a bit blunt, but it's important at this point. Okay, where are the churches they have planted? Where are the pagan idolaters who have been saved under their ministry? Where is the evidence of God's hand upon them? Where is the evidence of the working of God's Spirit through them? Where is the seal? Where is the proof? Where is the evidence of their spiritual life and their spiritual power, which they claim? They want you to listen to what they have to say. Where's the evidence that they are authentic messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's easy enough to say you are. It's easy enough to make the claim. But where is the proof? Remember that old Wendy's commercial? It goes back a lot of years. Some of you probably may even be too young to remember it, but most of us who are listening to the broadcast today probably do. It was a cute commercial, and the question was, where's the beef? Where's the beef? It was like it would show, if I remember, it would show tiny little hamburgers from some of the rivals, some of the competition to Wendy's, that were little puny hamburgers, the smallest ones, of course, which they sold. And then it would show a Wendy's hamburger with this nice, big, square beef patty. And then they would look at the other ones and they'd say, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Show us the authenticity. Show us the seal. Show us the evidence that your hamburgers are better than Wendy's. Where's the beef? Good question. Where's the church? Where are the converts? Where's the evidence of God's hand upon you? You see, the greatest critics often have the fewest qualifications. Have you ever noticed that? If you haven't, take time to do that. This will be encouraging to ministers of the gospel who are listening to the broadcast today. Some of you are being attacked by critics, undermined by critics, sometimes within the church, sometimes outside of the church. And it's discouraging. It's very discouraging. And sometimes you look at that and you say, well, maybe they're right. I suppose you do that. I've done that in years gone by. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not qualified for ministry. Maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe I should be doing something else. Maybe they've got a valid point. And then sometimes I will say, but look what by God's grace he has done through my labors. In my case, as in Paul's case, God has raised up a church. There's a church that exists in this city that by the help and grace of God, I am the founding pastor. I planted this church. There are souls that have been saved and who are living for the Lord, actively serving the Lord as members of this church. And where's the sign, where's the seal of God's blessing upon the lives of these critics? Where are their converts? Where are the churches which they have planted? Huh? Silence. Nowhere to be found. If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Apostles were primarily church planters. They traveled around the Roman world and they planted churches. And nobody did it better than Paul. Nobody evidenced the hand of God upon him more than Paul. Nobody showed more spiritual power in accomplishing this mission than Paul. People can criticize if they'd like to, but where is the evidence of God's power on their lives? Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.